December 15, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Dr. Murad, Imam Dr. Murad speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalktomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Individual like a seed. So he's like the seed, and the seed has to be planted in the field. The field must be the environment or the contents for the future possibility. So if we don't alert him and awaken him or place him in community interest, he has not much of a future. So we have to do two things. We have to, as clear as we possibly can, perceive the individual as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for him to be perceived in his concept, and then perceive the community interest as best we can, based upon Quran and the life of our Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Conceive the interest and then bring the two to be reconciled. Say, brother, you are a possibility for great things. You really are the future of the earth in seed form, but the seed must be placed in the earth, and the earth will feed your seed. The sun gives spirit to that seed, gives spirit to it, spirit for it, energizes it, and also supplies it with another form of energy. They call it chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the green, isn't it? Green. Growth. That's what green is, growth. And we know that this is the way the tree grows, by the sun having a chemical effect on the leaves, and the leaves feeding the tree, and the roots taking up water and also carbon. The tree is mostly carbon, isn't it? So the body is mostly carbon. So that carbon is mostly coming from the leaf. So if I'm correct, if I remember my science correctly, it comes from that chemical process that produces by the sun's efforts on the leaves that make them green, but also make them take in energy. Also, the chlorophyll enables them to take on, to bring about the process of changing that energy, the carbon, the wood, photosynthesis. That's what they call it, a big word. That's how the tree grows, not just from the root, but also from the leaves. The leaves breathe and receives energy from the sun. They are taking in their air, carbon, dioxide, is taken in and also feeding from the sunlight by the process of photosynthesis. And that's how the tree is able to get that big body, big strong body. All plants must have leaves, some shoots to come out that will receive food from the sun, right? So if they don't, they can't grow, you know? The mushroom, it grows in the dark. but it looks like it's a womb baby to me. It doesn't look like a baby out of the womb to me. It looks like a womb baby to me. I don't want to be a mushroom, I'll tell you that. Now, in perceiving the society, the interests of the society, it's very simple. What is the interest of our society? The interest is to perceive ourselves first as social creatures. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again that he made us as plants. Plants also have males and females. They generate and they grow together. So that's how they grow best. So when you put certain grasses to itself and keep other grasses out, that grass thrives best. Man is a social creature, and the spirit of the Quran is what the spirit of the Quran is, social inspiration. It feeds our social aspirations. So this word social is bigger than we think it is. By social, we don't mean just associating with each other physically, but our dependency on each other as members of a world society. We want to keep the focus on the Muslim community right now. As members of the Muslim community, our dependency on each other brings us together, and our love for each other brings us together. So here we have the love for each other that brings us together, and the dependency on each other that brings us together. Pretty soon we find that the teachers of the school has to be tied up full time in doing that. But there is also a need to have business growing in the community. So there is a business person feeding business, a social content in terms of people keeping expanding with growth. And as it grows, there is more demand for more things to take care of the need of its growing people. He can have regulations of the home and the parents. He can have the regulation of the family and the parents. He can have the regulation of the morals and the parents. The discipline, the law that discipline the family can be in the present. Everything can be in the person or present, pardon me. That's a small unit, and he can manage that. But when it expands and evolves hundreds of families, he can't manage that. If there is nobody but him and his family, he can go out, take his son out with him, children with him, and go out and plow the field and regulate his own food. He doesn't need anybody to regulate the economy for him. He can handle that. But when they multiply in a social unit, it's the social unit that is getting bigger. The social unit gets bigger and brings in demand for industry, for more sophisticated government, more complex government ideas, and everything else we can think of. There is not one other single influence responsible for the growth and the development of society other than the social principle or the social influence. Adan, Islam, Prophet, Quran, Muslim. The Quran Surah 68, Ayat 4, Prophet is on the exalted character. The Quran Surah 22, Ayat 78, Father Abraham named you Muslim before. El Hadith, page 117 and 9W, believe it or not, if neighbor is hungry. So life begins with concern, then interest. As I previously stated, man can have nothing without striving for it. We must also understand that matter are judged by the intent. If the intent is good, then God will reward you with good. You can also do something that is good with a bad intent, and God will give you the benefit of your intention. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, actions are judged by intention, and every man shall have but that which he intended. So thus, the whole migration was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. His migration for Allah and his messenger, and he whose migration was to achieve some worldly benefits or to take some woman in marriage. His migration was for that which he migrated. Before there can be any intent, intuitive endeavors on the part of our soul, there must first be concerns. With the concern, you tell the extent of debt in a people by looking at the amount of concern they have. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, also said, if you cannot be a believer until your concern agrees with what I have brought. So if you want to be a believer, your concern should be in accord with what God gave Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, which is the Quran. The concern of Muslims must first be Quranic or Islamic concerns. That is what makes us Muslim. Many who profess this religion in America wonder, why is that? I don't feel that I am being a Muslim. You feel that way because you don't know Quranic concerns. You mean well, and you want to be a Muslim, but without knowledge of Quranic concerns, you will continue to feel this way. The Quran has knowledge for the proper operation of human society. So the way you come to know Quranic concerns is to come out and hear the imam teach Quranic concerns. And you should do it regularly and not just when you feel like it. You should also study Quran on your own when you are at home, when in travel, etc. The Quran is knowledge that has come for the proper operation of human society. If knowledge comes for the operation of something, you need more than just the knowledge. You also need a demonstration. If you purchase a new machine, you want more than just a manual or how it operates. You also want a demonstration. Depending on how technical or how evolved a thing is, people can only do so much on their own. Some things can be so complex that a demonstration is required before you can be given a manual. In the case of the revelation of God, was for a demonstration before we saw the revelation. The Quran revealed first the demonstrator, Muhammad. God tells us in the Quran of Prophet Muhammad, character, and you stand on an exalted standing of character. We saw in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the excellent life that God wanted for man. When God revealed the Quran, it was revealed to the people. It came first into the demonstrator, and when he recited it, he was also demonstrating it. The demonstrator was there with the word. The life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, cannot be separated from the Quran. In order to benefit from the Quran as God intended, you must see the demonstration and practice an example. sunnah of the prophet, prayer and the peace be upon him. We should understand that when we take the kalima, declaration of the unity of Allah, and the fact that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him, we cannot say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, la ilaha, and think, okay, I'm a Muslim. That is only part of the kalima. To complete it, you must say, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now that is a shahida. Shahida means to witness. How do I witness that there is but one God? How do I witness that if there is 200 or 300 people in a place, I witness it upon seeing them. It registers in my own senses. Many people hear the message of al-Islam, the call to the path of God, yet hear it and don't hear it. And they say, yes, I'm ready to take my shahida. How can they take a shahida, bear witness when they have not witnessed anything? Al-Islam is not the blind faith. You must use your rational faculty. The invitation to al-Islam is not in the invitation to blind faith. You must use your rational faculty. You must sit and think while you are hearing a call to al-Islam. And you must reason and decide with your own tools of intelligence that, yes, this makes the better sense. It makes good sense that God is one who created everything. So I bear witness that there is but one God and that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So this religion came to invite people to the path of God. It is not for the spiritually drunk, those who accept faith blindly. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, you are the best of people evolved for mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in God. Not only have the Muslim been told to promote the good, but the prophet specifically points out to us the same thing. He says he is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect to our old ones, who does not recommend what is decent, reputable, and prohibit what is indecent and disreputable. From the above, we see God and his prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, telling us that we are to promote all that is good and we are to resist all that is bad. That is the community of people God wants. That is the requirement. If we accept to be community of al-Islam, we must accept promoting the highest standards of personal and community excellence. We must be a people prohibiting and resisting wrong, indecency, falsehood, corruption, vulgarity, ignorance, deceit, greed, malice, ill will, all of these negative things that cause deterioration, degradation, regression in the life of man and society. We must be a community that rejects those things that are offensive to the good taste of the civilized man and offend the conscience of the honest and the sincere person. If we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a quarrel of dreamers and spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason? Do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are business wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. You must also be concerned of those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influences in the Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are raised to the challenge. The Muslim obligation to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creatures. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, we are giving it as a protester. Or we could affirm and just say, God is one God. But no, we first say la in Arabic, which means no. That is in itself a protest. We not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. Many of us are afraid to get in the moral army, to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surroundings. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity, treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high prices. When God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleased before him more so than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves, shoplifters, and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent. And we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, or degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslim if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility. For God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fear accusation, the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart, but if I go all the way with this religion, I'm going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslim of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who can carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular. When God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, that's when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to place and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding the will, yielding the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demand and not the expectations of the people if their expectations are against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our Prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you, and you be a witness for mankind. From those above verses, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God, and we are a witness before God with the people. If we carry out our responsibility, then when we are before God, we will be witnesses and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We live true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are a witness to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It also is an obligation on the Muslim to warn their nearest relative. The Holy Quran says, and warn your nearest kinsmen. And if they disobey you, say, I am free of responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslim and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, they were preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good examples that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came in there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Al-Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and life. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with his khutbah, lecture, and then go back, and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job, if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistics and spiritual devotion with the same regard as those who were devoted spiritually as well as working to help build the foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words. True, there is by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night that he would be too tired to carry his duties to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. These are the same Muslims, pardon me. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. And then excessively knocks on the conscience. So the Muslim community should be a dynamic community rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the adhan, essentially means that we knock on the conscience. It is a design or form to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concerns, and our most important concern is to be worshipers of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. On Friday, when the call to prayer is made, we are told by God to leave off the worldly and business concerns and respond to him and the Juma, congregational prayers. So when the prayer is concluded, we are to return to those things concerned with building and sustaining the life of society. So if we understand this religion, we are in a good situation. Those who profess to be Muslim but don't understand their religion cannot be a good situation. Muslim must understand what is fundamentally and essentially their religion. They must understand the major concern and then make an effort to assert and exact themselves carry out the obligation of Muslims in this religion, in their homes and to their neighborhood. Neighborly concerns, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, he is not one of us who goes to sleep at night knowing his next door neighbor is hungry. This does not mean that you have to feed your neighbor. It means that you will be condemned if you can go to sleep and it doesn't bother you that your next door neighbor is hungry. Many times it may bother us, but we are not in a position to do anything about it. But we do have to register concerns of our neighbors if we are going to be followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. We must never forget that the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, is a witness regarding us, and we are a witness regarding the people, all people. We cannot be a witness against the people of this earth if we do not conform to the model of excellence that God has revealed for us. We can only witness when we are the best example. I only then that we can be a witness for a people. I cannot recognize the good life of someone else if I am not associated with what is good. The more I am committed to stand for good and to promote good, the better witness I am for others who are doing good. As Muslims, we must lead the way in establishing what is good and clean, and we must prohibit what is wrong. Islam, the nature of the universe, is the Muslim. God tells us in the Holy Quran, it is he who has named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation. We should understand that all the prophets of God were Muslims. This includes Adam, the first man, called our father. We should also understand that the religion of Islam built upon the excellence that God has given every man. And just as the nature of all of the prophets were Muslims, so is the nature for everyone in our religion. But what is a Muslim? A Muslim means one who is submitting himself to the will of God, which is found in the nature of all things. Muslim is the major discipline for maintaining and advancing human life. It is the very nature of the Muslim to seek peace. God has given every creature its nature. And that nature is Muslim, you may say. Do you mean that the nation, pardon me, do you mean that the nature of a snake is Muslim? Yes, a snake wants peace. And we also believe that the nature of the celestial body, the earth, the sun, the moon, the many stars, and other planets is Muslim. Science tells us that if there is confusion or disorder in the universe, there is a force that brings about order and peace again. That in itself tells us that the nature of the universe is Muslim. Thus, Al-Islam is the religion after the very nature in which God created man. All religious people don't see God in the same way. They are sincere in their belief. God will help them. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, every child is born a Muslim, but it is the circumstances in which he is born that makes him Jew, Christian, or other. God says that he has established man on the order of the pattern found in the universe. He found man to that, he formed man to that pattern. And that is the pattern of behavior we call Islamic behavior. It should be clear to the Muslim that what Al-Islam offers in terms of behavior is the kind of behavior God's creatures should have. Al-Islam offers its adherents the kind of future God's creatures should look at, to look for, pardon me, in this life. And in the hereafter, the Muslim life is not a life of conflict. It is a life of unity. The Muslim doesn't see spiritual life in any kind of conflict with community life, political life, or economic life. But because man is an emotional, moral, and spiritual creature, spiritual life is a necessary condition for him if he is to make real progress in the field of material reality. The essential life for man, if he is to make real progress on this earth, is spiritual life. And this life begins with a belief in our heart, our minds, and in our souls that we are accountable to one God who is superior, perfect, absolute, and eternal. All religious people don't see God in the same way, but if they are sincere and they believe, God will help them. La ilaha will bring a man out of hell. And we believe that if they are sincere, God will one day bless them to see clearly. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said that as long as you hold on to the one God, eventually that belief will deliver you, even though you are in hell. So human nature, the base that supports everything else, nature appreciates it for its whole function and role. Do not blame it for deviation. So the nature, conscience of man is excellent. God says that he has made man in the most excellent mold or form. Muslims reject the idea that human nature is gross matter, a situation for sin. We see the human nature as the base that supports everything else. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Man has a very special nature that is human. He is not only Muslim, but he is also human. He is man. If someone displays behavior that is characteristic of a snake, person is outside of their true nature, because their specific natural form is man, and the same applies to any other creature. If we imitate any other creature in our behavior, then we are stepping outside of our natural form, which is man. No one should say that nature is bad just because some man acts like a dog. They should say that the nature is good, but some men are confused, acting outside of their true nature. If a dog acts like a dog in its nature, we don't say that the dog is bad, nor do we say that the nature is bad, because we expect the dog to act in the form of a dog. But if man acts like a dog, there are some ignorant scientists who say nature is bad. A scientist should be the last one to make such a statement. He should understand the difference. Nature should be appreciated for its whole function and role and should not be blamed for deviation. Al-Islam brings peace to our hearts and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual and worldly life within us. Nature is not bad. It is excellent because of man's free will, and free will copied from that are not in his own, that is not owned if he is denied the right kind of learning environment. God has given us a great freedom, but it is also a great risk, and it puts the moral burden on society to see that the circumstances are good for the evolution of the creature that God has made. The religion of Al-Islam brings peace to our heart and to our souls. It reconciles the spiritual and worldly life within us. It brings unity to that which that we are not circular in the part of our soul, spiritual in another part, causing war within our own soul against ourselves. Nature is excellent revelation, comes and man finds his purpose. Some people run worldly reality to build a spiritual reality. God tells us in the Holy Quran, it is God who has sent down the book in truth and the balance by which to weigh conduct, hell. Some people run from the worldly realities of their form to build a spiritual reality. And some run from the spiritual reality of their form to build the worldly and material reality. Such people are in trouble, but the Muslim should be united. His life should be reconciled. He should be at peace with himself, and most of all, at peace with his nature. Though nature is excellent and it is the beginning place, if we expect our lives to grow and develop. It is not enough. It is not until revelation came that the man really found his purpose on this earth, his purpose in the universe, and his true satisfaction in his heart and soul. If anyone doubt that nature is a good base for establishing excellence for man in society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, a life of excellence. You have in the Messenger of God a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in God in the final day. When we study the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, we find that he was excellent in his nature even before he was given the mission of prophecy and revelation. He was admired and trusted by his countrymen. Even before God missioned him, they called him the honest one, the trustworthy one, translated Al-Amin. In Arabic, people saw something in him that made them feel that whatever he would say would be for the good of all that everyone could accept. Since we know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was already established in the excellence of nature before receiving revelation, that speaks for the religion being after the very nature in which God created man. Deen al-Fitra, if anyone doubts that nature is a good base for establishing excellence for man and society, then they should look at Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. In him we see that he was trustworthy and morally upright. He refused to worship more than one God, even though all of his countrymen were bowing down to idols. The Quran made Muhammad a new man, a leader for his people. Even though Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was excellent in his nature, admired by his countrymen, and trusted by everybody, still he was unhappy in his moment of happiness of heart. He would go to the cave of Hidra at the top of the mountain called Juma al-Nur, mountain of delight, which is on the outskirts of the city Mecca. There in the open of the cave would he sit and think on the condition of his people, the condition of the world. And in his soul, he would cry out to God. And it was there that God responded to him and gave him the first revelation of the Quran. It was with revelation that Prophet Muhammad became the messenger of God, a new man, a leader for his people and for all people. Revelation enabled him to lead his people out of darkness and ignorance into moral excellence, knowledge, the sciences, ethnical life, strong community life, economic principles, political principles, etc. A world was formed, and it became the most dynamic society in the world at that time. Even today, scientists and historians marvel and study what took place during his life and mission. They admit that no other person has been able to accomplish so much in such a short span of time. He turned the people around from an idolatrous and scattered, disunited, warring people of small factions of gangs and tribes into one united community under God. To tell people that their nature is bad hinders and burden them unnecessarily. Islam encourages us to embrace nature excellence. Let us understand the excellence of nature. Let us understand that God rewards us for obeying the excellence of our nature. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, rewarded to be the model for all men because he obeyed the excellence of his nature in this society. It is very important for Muslims to know that. God approved human nature. There is no ritual or exercise in our religion to train, strengthen, or prepare us to disengage our life from our nature. On the contrary, they are influences, teachings, etc., to encourage us to embrace, to accept, to appreciate, and to understand that our nature is excellent. Diversion, deviation from man, dreaming outside of nature. It is the unnatural condition in the mind of man that has led to the extreme kinds of deviation we have in the behavior of man. If you must die, then die to your own foolishness and not to the nature in which God created you. If someone tells you your nature is bad, you should ask, if I am bad by nature, what is the use of trying to be good? It is natural for people to want to be themselves. God made us that way. If you give somebody an ideology, philosophy, or theology that says to them that their nature is bad, then you are telling them, if you want to be good, you will never be yourself. Actually, you are telling them that they have to go outside of the nature in which God created them if they are to be good. It is the natural condition in the mind of man that has led to me to be extreme kind of deviation we have in the behavior of man on this earth. God did not create it. God did not create the situation for man to go to the extreme that he goes in, being a deviant, a pervert, some kind of weird creature. God did not create a situation for extreme behavior in the deviate line and deviant direction. It was man experimenting, dreaming, and acting outside of the voice of his good nature and brought him to such a conclusion, which brought about the introduction of the false ideas that says man must free himself from his nature. Such teachings say that man must first die to his own nature. The truth is that if you must die, then die to your own foolishness, to the nature in which God created you. And once that happens, then you can live in the truth. Reason and concern, the two important parts of human life. Noah's flood says concern can flood the life out without reason. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 11, Noah's flood. Genesis 6:11, Noah's flood. The story of Noah in the Bible, also the Quran, the sacred book of the Muslims. A human being is a creation of reason, creature of concern. These are the two important parts of human life. We can think, reason, question, examine, analyze things, and look for how to improve things by this examination of things. But we also are creatures of concern. Sometimes we give our life to concerns so much and not enough to reason. And to those concerned, floods the life out, and the whole society begins to be supported by concerns, but not by reason or greed or good sense. That was Noah's flood. We have a flood going on now. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 and 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrected with one blast, wither symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. We have many rak'ahs or many sections of prayer, But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah, only one section. It says two sections, and we sit down. We stand up for a third section, and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected, and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there's going to come a time when only the one blast will stand the dead up. And this is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 13 to 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrection with one blast, with a symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rak'ahs in prayer. We have many sections of prayer. But there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rak'ah. Only one section finishes it. We say two sections, and we sit down, third section, and we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected, and they will be awakened with the three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when only one blast will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused, stay clear, keep that in mind, and never forget any time or any day you are living. Never forget that your first interest is supposed to be your maker, who created you and everything. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. And I guarantee you that you will not need any more rak'ahs to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayer. God obligates us with revelation. Our holy book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 17. Ate their throne. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 75. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7. Hold up throne means that equal rule of God. Part it without question, without allowing their own thoughts to come into the picture. Wings are used to lift up. Every time we make sajda, the believer makes ascension. Two wings, symbolic of the two rak'ah. Fajr, three wings, symbolic of the three rak'ahs, Maghrib. Four wings, symbolic of the four rak'ahs, Surah or Isha. No, pardon me. Four rak'ahs, Surah, Asr, and Isha. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayat 17. Eight holds up. Two hands, knees, toes, forehead, nose equals eight. So when you make four rak'ahs, you make eight sajdas, meaning that we want the throne of ours to be successful too. So when you make Surah, Asr, Isha, you make four rak'ahs with eight sajdas. What is the throne? It means the rule. Man wants to preserve the rule that he has over the family, towns, nations. If you want to preserve the role, then break the day up four times of prayer. If you want to hold up the throne, interrupt the business. Look how successful the Muslims were under the Prophet. They became the great society on earth. They led other societies back to civilization. Clock of God and man. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4. One day with God is like 50,000 years. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 48. One day with God is as a thousand years. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42. When is the hour time? Time salat, when the hour time. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this where we start off right. Time salat, when is the hour time? Next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. We thank New Africa, excellent enterprise. Imam Dr. Murad speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.